My name is Rudy Edmond, and the subject of this program is glaciers and glaciation. The photo that you see on the screen is the Portage Glacier in Alaska, and we often think of Alaska when we think of glaciers because there are many of them still preserved there, and it's one of the best places to go and see and study glaciers. So let's look at another one. This is the Mendenhall Glacier in Alaska. And you can see that the character of this is that solid ice is moving down, confined within a canyon, and moving into an area where it is melting away. And actually the lower end of the glacier is breaking up while the upper end is still accumulating ice and snow, and that provides the pressure for the movement of the ice by gravity downslope. This outline gives us some of the particulars that we need to keep in mind. The snow line is really the line of permanent snow, and that is conditioned by the amount of precipitation, for one thing, the altitude above sea level, the position between the equator and the poles, and the exposure to the sun. And the mean annual summer temperature, of course, becomes a critical factor. Now, we can see from the diagram at the bottom of this slide that the ice moves downhill by gravity. The accumulation area is where the snow line is at a point where there is more snow accumulating than is melting out. And at the right-hand side, you can see as the ice moves down, the temperature tends to increase and the ice melts out, so more of the ice is wasting than is accumulating, and the ice then deposits the material that it has been carrying from the upper area. We have to start first with precipitation, because unless there is a lot of snow that accumulates, there will not be glaciers that form. In cold areas that have no precipitation, we would not have glaciers. So we must have a combination of the two. The snowflake is an interesting one, because if you look at it under a microscope, it always has six points or six sides. And as the after the snow accumulates and gets under pressure, piles up, then the snowflake changes in shape and becomes actually a little nodule, like a small case or a small piece of tapioca or something of that kind. So you can see the change from the upper part of the slide to the lower part, and the snow gradually changes into glacial ice as it compacts. Now, in this process, we note through time that there has been a considerable change in temperature. On the left-hand side of the chart, the arrow or the line points to colder periods. When the curve swings to the right, the ice tends to melt out, and it's an interglacial period. So you can see during the past 2 million years that we have had considerable fluctuation in climate, and this being primarily temperature, and where the precipitation was right, then glaciers would form. During the Pleistocene period or epoch, which we designate as the glacial period, you can see from this chart that there have been at least four major advances of the ice. These are best recorded in the Midwest, where the ice moved out of Canada, and you can see by the names of the periods that were given, the oldest one was the Nebraska Glacier, which moved all the way into Nebraska. Then came a later glacial epoch, with the ice advancing into Kansas, and then still a later one into Illinois. And the most recent glacial advance came mainly into Wisconsin. And that ice melted out approximately 12 to 15,000 years ago. So it's very recent. And you can see that as the ice melted out at different times, soil would form and vegetation would come back. And so the interglacial intervals were often very long, and the ice then took a long time to form and come back into the lower states from Canada. This shows a map of the United States and the maximum ice advance during the glacial epoch. You can see that it came well below the Great Lakes area and across the Great Lakes area, and had a great deal to do with forming the channels and the basins in which the Great Lakes are present. Now when we come to our western part of the United States, you see Washington on the map here and British Columbia to the north. The ice formed as a solid mass to the north of here, then moved south into Washington and actually melted out, you see, at Chelan. And so Seattle was glaciated, Spokane was right at the edge of the maximum advance of the ice, and so we are right at the very edge of the glacial topography to the north and the non-glacial to the south. When we examine our own area, one of the prominent features we see is Lake Chelan. And Lake Chelan, of course, is a very long lake where the ice moved down through that valley and gouged out the bottom of the canyon to form a very deep lake. And at the lower end, near Chelan, the rock that was carried down was deposited as the ice melted out, and it formed a dam, which places the level of the lake high above the Columbia River. This particular map was borrowed from one of the restaurants downtown because it was a better map as a place map than I had here in the village, so I borrowed it and took a picture of it. This shows Railroad Creek Valley, looking up valley from just above Holden Village. You can see in the bottom of the valley a white streak that is actually Hart Falls. The white coated mountain at the upper end of the valley is North Star, and on the right hand side is Bonanza Peak. And you notice the valley is very broad and very well scooped out by the action of the ice that moved down through this canyon at least four times. Now, just to illustrate this with a diagram, you can see that when ice fills in a valley, it presses very heavily on the bottom of the valley, and it tends to spread out. And being a solid, it freezes rock particles in, and as the ice moves then, it simply erodes out a very prominent U-shaped valley instead of a V-shaped valley, which you would normally find with a stream formed canyon. Now this illustrates the fact that the ice and snow on the left-hand chart shows that more ice and snow accumulates at higher elevation, and so more erosion takes place up at the upper end of the valley than at the lower end of the valley, because at the lower end of the valley, the ice tends to melt out, and it gets thinner, and it is less effective in moving and eroding the rock. Down at the lower end of the valley, we find that the ice has transported the rock material down to the farthest point that it can from the point of view of temperature. Then when it melts out, it leaves these piles, or moraines we call them, that form the deposits at the end of the valley and sometimes along the sides of the valley. Now, we're on top of Buckskin Mountain and looking in the direction of Bonanza Mountain, which is directly in front of us. You can see on the right-hand side there is a glacier on Bonanza Peak, and that glacier is just above Holden Lake in the valley or notch in the side of the ridge just below. On the left-hand side of Bonanza is another glacier, Izella Glacier, and that melts, and the water from that drains down just above Heart Lake in Railroad Creek Valley. Now, just below Heart Lake is Heart Falls, and waterfalls are a characteristic feature you find in glacial valleys, because wherever the rock was a little harder, then the ice tended to flow, move over it, and would gouge out the rock where there was softer, maybe above and below. And so in this case, we have a lake above and prominent waterfalls down into the a lower position in Railroad Creek. Here you see Heart Lake, and at the lower end of Heart Lake, there is some buildup of logs because of the beaver cutting material up at the upper end of the lake, and it has floated down and raised the level of the lake slightly. If we get high enough that we can look down on Heart Lake, and here in the middle of the picture is Heart Lake with Heart Falls, and then above that you can see a very prominent U-shaped valley, and above that would be Crown Point Falls and Cloudy Pass, and finally way over on the horizon you can see the outline of Glacier Peak in the distance. Moving up further in Railroad Creek Canyon, we come to the point where we can see Lyman Lake. This is Lyman Lake, and you notice again there is a waterfall above Lyman Lake, and also an area of snow and ice, and above Lyman Lake is Lyman Glacier. One of the reasons for showing you this slide is the fact you can see why Lyman Glacier still exists. The exposure to the sun is limited because it's in the shadow of the ridge on the right, and therefore the snow and ice has stayed here, while in the rest of the upper part of this valley it has already melted out. This is a view of an area where ice and snow accumulated and has moved rock. As you can see in the bottom of this valley, there's a kind of a ridge that built up of loose rock, and the ice now has retreated, so that you can see that this is a moraine that was left up in the mountains in the upper area where a pocket of ice accumulated in a amphitheater, which we would call a cirque. And if we go to Holden Lake, we see an excellent example of a cirque or a basin which is produced by the erosion of the glaciers up in the end of the valley. You notice the wall is very steep just beyond Holden Lake, and on the left-hand side, clear at the top of the wall, is the glacier which still exists above Holden Lake. This is another view of Holden Lake with the very prominent cirque wall and the glacier above Holden Lake, the Mary Green Glacier. If we take a look at what the glacier was moving just at the upper head of Holden Lake, you can see that rocks of very large dimension were being moved by the ice before it melted out and left these rocks stranded on the floor of the basin just above Holden Lake. Now we're still a little higher above Holden Lake, and you could see that very large rock pile that was a part of the tools of the ice as it moved down valley and scooped out Holden Lake. If the ice were to advance again, you see, this is the first material that it would pick up. And as it moved down, it would again begin the erosion process of rounding out the valley below. Now, we see a very rounded out valley here. We're beyond Cloudy Pass now and looking down the South Fork of Agnes Creek. And if we're to follow this trail down this glaciated valley, we would come to the area of Stehekin, where this glacier joined the glacier that formed Lake Chelan. And now if we go beyond that point, we begin to see Glacier Peak. Now, Glacier Peak is named that simply because it is covered the year round with glaciers. And in this case, you can see the dark area below is forest, and the white and rock area above is the permanent fields of ice and snow. And so the mountain is being shaped by the glaciers that are moving down from its summit. The top of Glacier Peak is up at 11,500 feet. And so it's the highest mountain in the area and has the most ice and the most snow and glaciers of any peak in the North Cascades area. One of the beautiful things that we see as we go to the area of Glacier Peak is Image Lake. Notice the beautiful meadow of flowers, and the lake here is formed by ice that gouged out a basin, but it's not very deep, but it's a beautiful spot to view Glacier Peak, so you often get a very nice reflection in this particular lake. Now let me take you to another lake that's produced by the movement of ice through the valley. And that is Dompke Lake. And here you see the glaciated surface of the campground here. And the ice has simply swept away all of the rock and polished it as it moved across. And in front of the camping area, you see Dompke Lake, which actually is quite a deep lake, 60 to 90 feet deep in the deepest parts as the ice moved through and left then this basin which filled in with water as the ice melted. Now we're on Lake Chelan, and this is the view you had as you came up the lake and were approaching the dock at Holden, the Holden dock. The mountain, the prominent rounded mountain on the left-hand side is Dompke Mountain. Now, we had just looked at Dombkey Lake, and Dombkey Lake would be in the sag, or in the area just to the left of the top of Dombkey Mountain. The ice actually moved through there and then joined Lake Chelan, or the Chelan Glacier, at this point. The thing I want to point out to you in this slide is the rounded top of Dombkey Mountain. And the reason for that is that the ice was so deep here that it went clear over the top of Dombkey Mountain and polished it off clear to the very top. So if you were to go to the top of Dombkey Mountain, you would see glacial polish and striae on the very top of the mountain itself. Now here we're on Lake Chelan again, and the rounded peak on the left again is Dombkey Mountain, but notice that there are no beaches along Lake Chelan. The reason is that the rock walls are so steep that no beaches exist along the edge of the lake, and actually where this picture is taken, the lake is between 1,000 and 1,500 feet deep, so it's a very prominent valley with a broad bottom to it, rounded out into a U-shaped, and scraped clean the rock from the walls along the shore of Lake Chelan. Here's another view. You see how the rock walls come right down to the water level and then extend down, often 1,000 to 1,500 feet. Now, another feature of Lake Chelan is the fact that down by Field Point and 25 Mile Creek area, you can see these terraces. Now, these are gravel terraces that were built up at the time the lake stood at a higher level. Before the ice all melted out, the ice formed a dam, and Lake Chelan was much deeper than it is today. And these gravels accumulated along the side of the valley. Now we're looking down valley at the lower end of Lake Chelan, and you see here the low rounded hills, and these are the loose materials that were brought down by the ice moving to this point and then depositing this material as a dam which encloses Lake Chelan. Now we're back into the mountains and on the trail that goes to Holden Lake. And in this picture you can see the triangular shape of the ridges that come down to actual bottom of the canyon. And the reason for this is that the ice was rounding out the bottom while the upper part was not being eroded so fast, so that the prominent triangular facets are a part of glacial erosion that we see in a valley of this kind. Now, another feature that you see where the ice has been effective is here on Copper Mountain. And you notice that there are sort of pan-shaped areas where the ice accumulated and began to freeze onto the rock and pull it away. And as it did, it produced very sharp points from the mountain. We always often refer to these as horns. And you can see that this mountain has been shaped by the plucking away of the rock as the ice moved into the valley and then joined the glacier and went on down valley from this point. If you turn the camera and look into the upper ends of these basins, you see that these points become very sharp and many ridges form, And this is a product, again, of the ice plucking away at the rock and quarrying it out. And it joins then with the solid ice and becomes a part of the tools that erode the valley below. Here we see a valley that is on the other side of Martin Ridge. This is Ten Mile Creek Valley. And this is, again, a glaciated valley. It is smaller than Railroad Creek Valley, but the Martin Ridge is on the left-hand side, and you can see the end of Martin Ridge here. And it is produced by glaciers on either side, performing a very prominent ridge. Here, the ridge is well exposed. Now you can see the ridge immediately before us is Martin Ridge, and the valley on the other side would be the Ten Mile Creek Valley, and the one on our side is Railroad Creek Valley. So this is how these ridges become sharpened up by the action of ice sculpturing, in particularly in the Northern Cascade. This is beautifully illustrated. How do we know how high the ice existed along the valley walls? It's mainly by evidence that is shown in this slide, where you can see the polished surface where the ice has moved across and polished the rock area. Furthermore, it has produced scratches where a big rock would be frozen into the ice and be moved along as it was going down valley, leaving a scratch that we can find as a record. So as high as we can find this kind of evidence, we know that the valley was filled with ice. Now, where we come down, farther down in the valley, then if the ice picked up all of these rocks, then it must have deposited them at some point. Now, this happens to be the glacial deposit that exists between the garage in Holden Village and the Portal Museum. And you notice the characteristic feature is that the coarse material and the fine materials are all mixed together. And there's no sign of sorting. It's just as though they were being moved by a bulldozer and not sorted out in any way. Furthermore, these boulders that are in this loose material have striations on them that tell they have been scratched against the valley floor or the valley wall. Here is a good example of one of these. And this is a boulder that in the bank right by the present hydroelectric plant. And you can see the scratches on this. And that was a part of the movement of the rock in the ice against the rock floor and the rock walls of the canyon. Now, if the ice moves rock against rock, it produces a very fine rock flour. And that's a product that then becomes part of the glacial deposit. And it's carried out beyond the glacier by water that melts when the ice melts. And this loose, very fine material called LUSS, L-O-E-S-S, is spread across the valley, and in this case, out in across a portion of Washington, south of Chelan, and in the area where the lava flows are. Notice that this material covers the lava flow and makes an excellent agricultural base for crops. And so all you need to do is to irrigate this, and you have the basis for very good agriculture in portions of the state of Washington. Now, another glacial feature that's very prominent in the Northern Cascades are hanging valleys. And this is a picture from the upper level of the chalets in Holden Village, looking across at Copper Basin. You notice that there is a U shape to the basin, and there's also a lip where it descends into Railroad Creek Valley. And if you take the trail into Copper Basin, what you find is a waterfall where you see that steepening of the valley wall. And then as you get higher, the basin levels out and you have a prominent feature that we say hangs above the level of the bottom of the floor of the valley at Holden Village. And this is a characteristic kind of thing. Now, if we look down the valley, Railroad Creek, in this case from the top of Buckskin Mountain, in that area, you can see Lake Chelan at the end of the valley. And the ice moved down through the valley and then joined the glacier which formed Lake Chelan. One of the prominent features of glaciated areas are prominent waterfalls where the valley has been oversteepened and the stream enters at a high level and comes cascading into the canyon below. In this case, this is Rainbow Falls. And that's a view you can have if you take the Lady of the Lake up to Stehekin and then take a bus. It'll take you up to this point, and the falls is actually 312 feet high with a good volume of water, and it is a beautiful sight to see and one you might consider visiting. Now, let me give you a perspective of what we think the area around Holden looked like a few hundred thousand years ago, and perhaps as recently as 20,000 years ago. Now, the setting for this is a flight from Copenhagen to Seattle across Greenland ice cap. Now, at this point, we're just approaching Greenland, and you can see all of the icebergs out in the ocean at this point. And I want to follow then with a sequence of pictures. This one shows, again, we're moving on to Greenland, and you can see the glaciers now coming off of the Greenland ice cap and breaking up as they enter the water coming into the ocean proper. This produces a series of icebergs that then can be seen floating out onto the ocean from this point. Now next, just a matter of seconds later, I took another picture, and now you can see the glaciers more fully coming down to the water edge. And the next picture shows, as we're moving further now up onto the Greenland ice cap, you can see the origin of the ice that moved down through these canyons and then produced the iceberg. Now, you can see what Holden area probably looked like at the time of maximum ice and maximum glaciation. The tops of each one of these ridges where glaciers are filling in the valleys would be very much what the situation was here as the ice moved out of Canada and down through the canyons of the North Cascades. So, had we been able to be here at that time, this is probably the kind of a picture we would have seen, with all of the canyons full of ice and just the ridges sticking out above them at that time. Now, if you come here at Christmas time to Holden Village, this is the view that you have. And you see Buckskin Mountain, a prominent feature here. But you notice all of the snow that accumulates. The snow will be 4, 6, 8 feet deep on the level in the Holden Village area. And as you view this, you're reminded of the fact that it would not take a very great change in the climatic condition to allow this ice to accumulate to the point that it would begin advancing into the valley again. We have no way of knowing whether we're in the beginning of a cycle where the ice might accumulate more rapidly and again fill in the valley as it has done at least four times in the past. Or we may be in the cycle, part of the cycle, where the ice is still melting out and we're getting deeper into an interglacial era. So our measuring sticks are simply too short to make predictions of what the future holds, but it's interesting to see what the situation is here in the wintertime and the kind of situation it would be if the ice continued to advance into the valley. Well, we have at this point then reviewed the kinds of glacial features and the things that are related to glaciation in our own area and wherever ice accumulates. The ice accumulated in the last couple of million years, mainly in the northern hemisphere, and so the main record of glaciation is here. Alaska is a wonderful place to study it, and here at Holden, this is an unusually rich kind of area for the study of glaciation. We see the effects of the sculpturing produced by the ice, and many of the features of glaciers can still be viewed in this particular valley. So as we think of glaciation, we think of it as one of the very prominent processes that has occurred within recent geologic time, and the features are still very fresh. So with that, I would like to conclude this program and then invite your questions in any way you would like to ask of us. And please, if you have questions, let us know and we'll be glad to try and respond to them. And this will conclude the program then, and thank you very much for your attention. I'm Rudy Edmond, signing off then at this time. Thank you.